While Sam we sang is really quite a dangerous song, if you think about it. Take me out beyond where the waters are, so that God, you can take me. I hope that's the case with us. Am I not on? Oh, it'd help I put this on, right? Yeah, that last song is a powerful one. Thank you. Our text this morning, the passage we'll be reading is in the book of James, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Book of James, chapter 3, verses 13 to 18. Here it is this morning. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, where they exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Lord, would you help us to understand these words from James this morning? Holy Spirit, would you come and lead us into the truth? Would you illuminate Scripture to us so that we understand, Lord, what it is that you are trying to communicate to us. Let our ears be open and our hearts be sensitive to hear the truth of this passage this morning. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. So, I'm assuming that most of us in here know there's a difference between being smart and being wise, right? How many of you claim to be smart? Oh, no, we're all really humble, okay? I think most of us are smart, at least in certain areas, okay? But wisdom is something different, okay? And, you know, you get on the internet, you find all sorts of things. Some people would say being smart is knowing a tomato is a fruit. Being wise is what? Not putting it in a fruit salad. Okay, that would be an awful fruit salad. Intelligence is being able to calculate exactly how much weight an old rope bridge can hold. Wisdom is deciding to take the long way around. Okay? Intelligence is knowing exactly what to say. Wisdom is knowing whether you should say it at all. Okay, there's a difference between being smart, having intelligence, and wisdom. Being smart is knowing what the Bible says, while being wise is believing it and using that knowledge to help someone else. Okay? I've used this illustration, I'm sure, before, but there was a man, many years ago, had the whole Bible memorized. Okay? And he would go around to Christian schools, to youth groups, to churches, doing programs. Okay? And so, you know, of course, the kids especially would pull out, like, say Ezekiel 35:14. I mean, I don't even know that. And he goes, oh, that's this. He's recited word for word. So he'd go through all Scripture, and he'd say passages, quote, verses, you name it. Okay? Very, very smart man when it came to knowing Scripture. He was miserable and died by suicide because he did not use the wisdom he had. He didn't understand what he was citing. Okay? And so there's all sorts of differences between being smart and being wise. Okay? No one likes a know-it-all. Okay? When you were in elementary school, is anybody in here the know-it-all? You knew everything. Okay, good. Not that know-it-alls are bad, but, you know. But a person of wisdom is someone who's often sought out. In the Bible, the dictionary says that wisdom is accumulated learning or simply good sense. Yes, but it's so much more than that. And that's what James is going to lead us into this morning. Okay. James has been making the point several times in many different ways that faith without works is dead. He's confronted us about showing favoritism in chapter 2 and how we use our words in chapter 3. And James says, if you claim to have faith in Jesus, there should be a solid evidence of that relationship in our lives. In chapter 3, 13 to 18, James continues with that theme, and he asks this in verse 13, who is wise and understanding among you? And when he is saying that, asking that, he's actually issuing a challenge. He's saying, if you claim to be wise, demonstrate your wisdom in the works that true wisdom produces. Okay? If you are wise, you should be able to show that wisdom in what you do. But what I find very interesting in James's explanation of wisdom is that he doesn't explain what wisdom is. Okay? Rather, he explains how to recognize it. Godly wisdom, he says, is known by being pure, peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Those who are not wise are known by their bitter jealousy, selfish ambition, disorder, and rampant sins. Now, to gain a fuller understanding of wisdom, I think it's helpful to go to the book of Proverbs, right? Solomon was the wisest person who ever lived. He prayed for wisdom, and God gave it. And we have a lot of Solomon's wisdom in this book. And in chapter 2, verse 6 and then 9 through 12, we see a couple of different things. For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Okay? So right there, we see that the source of wisdom is God himself. Okay? And then we read this. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity. Every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding will guide you, delivering you from the way of evil. Not only does wisdom come from the Lord, but he gives it to us, and it covers all areas of life. Okay? It does. Okay? We might say that it's the God-given ability to have insight into different situations, understanding the right thing, and then doing it. Okay? It's biblical wisdom is skill for living, we could say, rooted in the fear of the Lord and expressed through righteous choices. Right? Wisdom, there is wisdom you get here. Okay? But spiritual wisdom comes from the Lord himself. It's not something we drum up. It's not something we build up in ourselves. Okay? It starts with the fear of the Lord. Okay? And it's expressed through our choices, how we live. That's why Proverbs doesn't tell us exactly what wisdom is. It shows us what wisdom produces. It produces humility instead of pride, restraint instead of impulse, counsel instead of self-trust, and steadiness instead of chaos. You go to a store, or you go to an auction, you see something you like, okay? How many has anybody bought anything by impulse before? Never. Okay. You buy it by impulse, you go home and you tell your husband or your wife, and they go, you bought what? And then they especially go, you paid how much for this? Okay. Some of us are deceptive and won't even tell our wife. No, I get it. Okay. You know, we do that. Okay? Wise choice, maybe sometimes, but wisdom is more about restraint than impulse buying. Now, Proverbs presents wisdom as this, as information not to be mastered, okay, but as something given by God, cultivated by humility, and confirmed through obedience over time. It's something we grow into. It's not something we master right away. I mean, it'd be great if we could, but that's just not how it works. Okay? What what does make a person wise is how well his or her lifestyle reflects the truth. So if we go back to James, we pick up here in verse 14. It says, by his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. Okay? It's interesting here that James uses meekness. It's not a word we use very often. We would equate it probably with gentleness in some sort of way. Okay? But it's not a trait people look for. Okay? Go, oh, you're a meek person. That's great. I want to hang out with you. It's not what society says, oh, you're meek. I'm going to elevate you to chairman. No. Meekness is kind of ridiculed. It's like, why would you want to be that? You create meekness with a mouse. Timid. That's not the biblical definition of meekness at all. Okay? It's actually from a word used to describe a high-spirited horse, brought under control. Okay? He hasn't lost his strength. The horse hasn't lost his strength at all, but he carries that strength with gentleness and humility. Just because somebody is humble doesn't mean they're weak. Just because they're gentle doesn't mean they're weak. There's a phrase John Piper uses. He uses it in several different ways, but I love the image. Velvet steel. That's somebody who is meek, somebody who is gentle. They are strong inside, and they're so strong that they can be gentle. It's not a timid gentleness. It's not a timid weakness at all. No, it's a very strong person who, in his wisdom, can be meek in humility and be humble. Okay? Hey, think about this. I'm sure if I asked you to think of somebody you would consider to be wise, anyways, think of someone, okay? Whoever that is. Is that person weak? No. I would say most of us would say that person is not weak. Okay? No. Because wisdom doesn't make weak people. It doesn't make arrogant people either. Okay? Humility is one of the basis for wisdom. You can't be humble. You can't be wise unless you are humble. Okay? Yeah, it's interesting to me. Why is it that when we think of wise people, at least when I think of wise people, I tend to think of those who are older? Okay. I've come across some people who are wiser than others when they're younger. I have students who I would say at moments are wise. At other moments, they're the exact opposite. But at moments, they're wise. Okay? But generally, when I think of a wise person, I'm thinking of somebody older. Okay? Do you think that these individuals all of a sudden just became wise? Okay? Dan turned 75 today. He is wise. Okay? He hit the point that birthday, all of a sudden his wife's gonna go, whoa, Dan, where did his wisdom come from? I don't know. Not gonna speak into a marriage, but maybe. Okay? But most of the time that's not how it happens. Okay? It's not that they all of a sudden became wise. It's something they grew into over time. Okay? It's years spent with the Lord, experiencing successes and failures, reflecting on mistakes and seeking the Lord's forgiveness. It's through experience that wisdom is gained. Okay? Many of them are both kind and strong, and they've been molded, shaped, and strengthened by the Lord. Wisdom comes by reflection. It comes by looking back and seeing, okay, this is what I did, this is what the Bible says I should have done, and God's doing this, and we reflect and we process. Both failures and successes, everything that goes on in life, what is God teaching, what is he showing? That is how wisdom is developed. Okay? It's like this. I heard this story in a couple of ways, and I actually had somebody like tell me this is what they did as a principal of a school. The way this story goes is two teachers were applying for the same vice principal position at a local high school. Okay. One had been teaching for a total of 8 years, and the other had taught for 20. Everyone expected the teacher with the greater experience to get the job. It makes sense, right? But when a decision was made, the person with 8 years teaching experience was the one chosen. The teacher who had 20 years and was overlooked was really quite upset. Okay, he complained, because I got 20 years of teaching to her 8. He cried, I am vastly more qualified. The school board's reply went like this. Yes, sir, you do have 20 years of teaching to her 8. But where she has 8 years of experience, you have 1 year of experience repeated 20 times. Okay? One person learned and grew in wisdom. The other person never learned. Just did the exact same thing. Okay? If we don't learn, we don't grow. If we don't learn, we don't become wise. Simply experiencing the passage of time doesn't mean we have grown or learned from those things we experienced during that time. Wisdom is gained by learning from the past and putting that wisdom into practice. Now, while godly wisdom is carried with gentleness and humility, those who are unwise look very different. Okay, you see this in verses 14 through 16. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition, those two things in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and all every vile practice. Those without godly wisdom look different than those without godly wisdom look different because their motivations are different. Okay? Godly wisdom desires to honor the Lord through obedience to his words and the fruit of the Spirit. But the unwise, I'll just call them that, the unwise are motivated by selfishness and pride. Bitter jealousy describes a person who has all that he needs, but who feels threatened by another person's success. And as such, they become resentful and bitter. That jealousy often fuels itself into selfish ambition. Okay? The heart of this person carries an unending and always increasing desire to push him or herself to be the top and the best of everything. Okay? Jealousy in all of its forms is discontentment. Okay? And it leads to being threatened. And so I'm going to respond by doing what I have to be on top and to not lose what I have. Okay? Selfish ambition. Okay? James described this person and this type of thinking in 5 ways. Okay, the first one is this. A characteristic of the unwise is a person boasts instead of being humble. They claim to be better than another. And this type of boasting often leads to proudly justifying one's own sin and actions. Okay? If my motivation is jealousy and selfish ambition, okay, then the last thing I'm going to do is be humble. Because that's going to mean I'm happy for the other person. I'm not going to do that. Not if I have selfish ambition and jealousy. Okay? So they boast, or this person boasts, instead of being humble. The second, James says, they are false to the truth. Okay? Let me put it this way. The unwise change the standard of truth to match their lifestyle. Okay? The slogan is, what you do is right for you, and what I do is right for me. What's the heart of that statement? Me. But it excuses all sin, doesn't it? If what's right for you, oh, that's right. This is right for me. It's okay. Even if it's completely opposite from you, it's okay. Then sin no longer exists. Okay, so we excuse our actions by changing the standard. Okay? Number 3, the unwise are earthly, what James says. A person's motivations and goals are worldly measures of truth, standards of success, material motives, and priorities. There's no acknowledgement of God. Okay, if we were to list cultures, values, and biblical values, would they be similar? They probably shouldn't be. Okay. Money, success, power, drivenness, popularity, fame, go down that list. Christians, hopefully you have a very different list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, Christ-likeness, devotion to family, okay. Things like that. Okay. So unwise, those who are unwise, have values set by the world. Unnatural is the fourth. They're natural in their thinking. The source of their wisdom is their own thoughts, attitudes, interests, and pursuits, not the Spirit's wisdom from above. Now, I'm not going to say the unwise have no wisdom at all. No. Sometimes they've got wisdom about all sorts of things, but it's earthly wisdom. Okay? It's not spiritual. Like, a guy is wise about how to fix a machine. Okay. He's wise in that way. But from a heavenly sense, from a spiritual sense, it's very, very different. Finally, James talks about the unwise as being demonic in their thinking. Now, I don't necessarily think all types of ungodly, I won't say it that way. I don't think James here is saying that every thought the unwise have are demonic. But I think the emphasis is on wisdom that reflects a pattern of thinking that's so contrary to God's truth that Satan himself could endorse it. Okay? So it may not come from Satan himself, but it is consistent with what he would say. Okay. So the question then becomes, how do we recognize false wisdom? How do we recognize what's false from what's true? James tells us we have to look at the results. Okay. Jealousy in all of its sinful forms does not bring peace. Okay. Just doesn't. Okay. It breeds suspicion, fear, erratic behavior, and a lack of trust. In short, it brings disorder. Selfish ambition seeks personal gain above anything else. Okay. I'm going to do whatever I have to do to get what I want. I'm going to run over whoever I have to run over to get what I want. Okay. That doesn't breed peace. That breeds fear and mistrust and betrayal and all sorts of things. Okay. Sin is dismissed as an obstacle in the way of personal gain. Okay. That describes ungodly wisdom. Okay. But the effects of godly wisdom are very different. Okay, if we look at verses 17 and 18. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And so James says, if you want to recognize godly wisdom, look at what it produces. He says, first of all, that wisdom is pure. Okay? It produces purity of internal motives as well as external actions. Selfish ambition is replaced by a willing submission to the Lord. Now, hopefully, that our desire, our ambition, is orientated toward promoting the kingdom, promoting what God wants to. Okay, ambition's not bad, but Ambition, okay, needs to be channeled in the right direction. Okay. Second, God-given wisdom produces peaceful relationships. The natural tendency is to be argumentative, quarrelsome, belligerent, and quick-tempered. Do you see that anywhere? All the time. Okay, we see it all the time on the TV. We see it in sports. We see it in relationships. We see it at school. We see it at Walmart. We see it everywhere. Okay, but God's supernatural life within us guards against this and strives to be at peace with others. Paul says that. Strive to be at peace with others as much as it is in your ability to do so. Okay. Christians should not be, and believers should not be known as those who pick fights. We shouldn't be known as those who throw ridicule, those who are argumentative and belligerent. That shouldn't be us. Okay? Now, if non-Christians, sometimes they will call us that. Okay? Fine. But from our perspective, we're not. Okay? It's not belligerent to preach the gospel. It's not belligerent to speak the truth. Okay? Except to those who are offended by it. Okay? But as much as it is within our ability, we are to be at peace with all men. We're to reconcile. That's all over 2 Corinthians. It's all over the gospel. What did Jesus do on the cross? He reconciled us to God. We are to reconcile ourselves with each other. If we go back to Matthew, Jesus says, what should you do if you get slapped on one cheek? Give him the other also. If he says, give me a cloak, give him a tunic. If he says, walk with you 1 mile, walk with him two. Okay? How do you put that into practice? Be at peace with people. Okay? That's a characteristic of godly wisdom. A third characteristic is teachability. Okay? Or gentleness. Okay? In our day, when people feel their rights have been violated, In our day, when people feel their rights have been violated, they strike out with a lawsuit over the most insignificant offenses. Okay? What's the most frivolous lawsuit you've ever heard of? Yeah, McDonald's like 20 years ago, like $3 million. Okay? That's why for like 5 years, all the coffee at all the fast food restaurants was cold. Do you not know that? For about 5 years, all the fast food companies turned down the temperature of their coffee because they were all afraid of being sued. Okay? That's the classic one. Okay? There's all sorts of others. Oh, he insulted me. Well, you get sued for libel. You get sued for all sorts of things. Okay? There's a reason why in the Palm Beach, Florida telephone book, when we were down there, under attorneys, the yellow pages was 72 pages long in the attorney section. Why? Because of lawsuits, okay? That is not how we're supposed to be. Okay, but what's the world's wisdom? Petty, contentious, selfish, and bitter. But with God's wisdom, we need petty infractions of our rights with a different kind of ethic, a willingness to serve. Okay? It's not about getting back. It's not about I'm going to inflict as much damage as I can. It's not about what it's about at all. Okay? It's about a willingness to serve. Godly wisdom also creates teachability. Okay? Someone who can put aside stubbornness and readily yield to the truth. It refers to a person who is gracious, flexible, and open to change. Okay? Stubbornness in its best form is tenacity. Okay? Somebody who is stubborn has stick-to-itiveness that will just, I'm going to get this done regardless, and so they can stick with it. That's the best form of stubbornness. The worst form of stubbornness is not being willing to listen to anybody, not being able to see that you're wrong in any way. But godly wisdom is not that. Godly wisdom is recognizing, okay, I might have something to learn here. I might be wrong. Okay? How can I learn from this? How can I grow from this? Is there a different way to do it? Okay? Refers to person who is gracious. Okay. Humble. Let me learn. Okay. Are you willing to teach me? Okay. That's how you gain wisdom. Because think about it. If we're stubborn, are we willing to learn at all? And if we don't learn, how are we going to gain wisdom? Okay. And so godly wisdom leads to flexibility, teachability. Couple more. Mercy. Okay, while the world heaps wisdom, while worldly wisdom heaps ridicule and judgment, mercy shows kindness and benevolence. Okay? James says an attribute of Godly wisdom is being merciful. It's also being bountiful. You become compassionate and merciful, giving blessings to others. Okay? You know, maybe I was right or wrong this week. I don't know. Okay, I'm at Quick Trip in Newton, filling up with gas. This lady pulls up beside me and says, "Sir, do you have money for gas? I'm trying to get to Oklahoma City." I give her 12 gallons of gas. Okay? Was I right in doing that? Okay? We could debate this all day long. Yes, no. You know what? Ultimately, I gave her the gas, and I'm like, "God, you do with this what you want." Okay? But I think this comes back to being compassionate, being merciful, being bountiful. Okay? Yes, we're to be good stewards of the money, but at that instance, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to pay for it and let God do with it what he will. Okay? But wise people are compassionate people. We're willing to listen. We're willing to get involved in others' lives. Okay? That's godly wisdom. Earthly wisdom, unwise people, it's like, I'm going to run over whoever I have to get what I want because selfish ambition and jealousy are going to drive me to do that. Uh-uh. Biblical wisdom is about considering others and being compassionate and merciful to them, to others. Spiritual wisdom is unwavering. The term suggests a person with fixed principles who will never violate biblical standards regardless of the situation. We call this integrity. Okay? That what we believe, that's what we're going to do. Okay? And believers also are endowed with the spirit of wisdom so that they live a life of sincerity. Okay? All the mask comes off when they follow the principle, what you see is what you get. Okay? That's kind of why I like this church. I really like this church. Because most of you are what you see is what you get people. Okay? Masks don't work out here that well. We all live too close together. We're in each other's business. And Todd knows everything about everybody. So, you know, that's just the way it is. Okay. Are we totally without masks? No. Okay? But for the most part, we're fairly honest people here. What you see is what you get. And that's a sign of godly wisdom. There's no need to put on a mask. There's no need to fake things. Just be who you are, learn, and grow. Okay? And so these are the characteristics of spiritual wisdom. And James tells us that lives like this are characterized with, or will receive a reward. He says, "And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." In the peace that comes from godly wisdom, we grow into a life that is pleasing to God. I think that's the reward. Okay, wisdom leads to a life in which we want to and strive to and are ambitious to live for Christ. Okay? Growing in Christ-likeness does not come by being selfish and arrogant, creating disorder and fostering sin, but in a life characterized by godly wisdom and peace that comes from it. And through that, God molds us and shapes us into his image. You know, I was looking at stories of people who had transformed, business people who had transformed from being selfishly ambitious and jealousy to really turning their lives around and setting their business on a path to honor the Lord. And one of the stories I came across to was a man who ran Interstate Batteries. Okay, his name was Norm. I can't remember. It was Miller, I think, was his name. When he first started with Interstate, he said, "I was busy all the time. I traveled all over the country, and it was so stressful, I drank. I drank all the time." Well, there was one point in his life where he got to the bottom and said, "I can't do this anymore." And he turned to the Lord. And eventually, he became head of Interstate Batteries. And if you look up his story in Interstate Batteries, you will see a man who has, he's grown a company, but for him, it's not the company. It is the influence he has. He's got discipleship groups all over the place. He's got resources on websites. They hold conferences. He has trainings for his employees. And all of these things, he goes, my business is just a platform now for the gospel. Yes, we're successful and we need to do that. But it's not about being the best. It's about what can I do for the kingdom. And I love stories like that because it's really wisdom that's been transformed into movement for the kingdom. It's a life focused on God. And so I hope that whatever situations we're in this week, that God will give us wisdom to act and react and say and not say and choose to do those things that are the best for the situation with the wisdom that God gives us. They may not be smart people necessarily, maybe be wise. Lord, thank you for this morning, for this text. I do not feel I have done it justice, but I pray, Lord, that you would use the text itself to speak into our lives. Lord, we want to be people who are not driven by cultural values, not people who are driven by just ambition and jealousy and pride and arrogance. Lord, we don't want to be driven by that. We want to be driven by humility, by peace, by care, by benevolence, by sincerity, Lord. We want those traits. May our lives reflect godly wisdom this week, knowing that it does not come from ourselves, but it comes from you. Lord, may you, through all that you give us, make us wise people. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.